You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore, fresh to death over there. I see you, expensive polos. What's happening, my brother?
I know you're talking about this, how I got this from
You gotta tell them.
Yeah, you know, yeah. This is not anything special.
I think about how you get
it's very
it,
standard polo.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Well, all right, brother.
I'm trying to give you some props, bro.
All right, yeah, but I'm doing well.
Okay.
You know, peace, freedom, and reparations. Let's get
my
to
man,
it.
My man. Longevity, how are you, sir?
Doing great, man. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, that sounds pretty standard response.
Yep, I'm going to go ahead and move on.
Okay.
My man DJ J-Div, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good?
Yeah, man.
You all right? Seem happy?
Yeah, man. My weekly therapy session.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Hey, anytime you can help somebody out, man, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Condolences to Magoo, man, who passed away from Timlin and Magoo.
Absolutely.
Melvin Barcliff, I believe, is his government. I'm not sure what happened, but
I don't think they released that information yet.
That just happened today, right?
This is recently, last couple ago. Days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yesterday, maybe. But yeah, man, condolences to that brother, man. I know that's him and Tim are super close. I haven't heard anything from Timlin. I don't know if he's released any, you know, people released
a couple posts.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, salute to him, man. And Clarence Avant, too.
Yes.
Passed away at 92, I believe.
If anybody has
Godfather,
not,
bro.
Has not seen the Netflix documentary, you know, The Black Godfather, definitely check that out. He's had his hand in everything.
Yeah.
You know, way back in the day to basically right now.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, and he had lost his wife to some foolishness.
Like a robbery or something.
Yeah, like a robbery of... couple, you know, years ago. So shout out to that family. But also, this is just fresh in. Chico Del Vec. I don't know if y'all remember him. He was one of the people that Biggie put on in the Junior Mafia.
Oh, were?
He just passed away as well.
Age?
I'm not hip to him at all.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was, you know, I remember him just being in the crew.
Early Junior
Mafia? No, he was on Conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
There was a lot of cats on that album cover that
Chico
never heard
of. And the Snakes. I mean, basically, Biggie just said his friends, y'all want to be a rap group.
Mm-hmm.
And so, come on, I'm going to help you get this money.
I can't lie. I'm asleep. I wasn't. To Terry's point, that cover was.
Did he have on the yellow suit?
I don't remember. I don't remember. But it was just a thing where I was like, okay. You know, I do remember that era when Junior Mafia hit and everybody was actually very curious about these people that Biggie was rapping with.
Nah, for sure.
You know, but really, you know, after Lil' Kim and Lil' C's, it was kind of, after that.
Kind of like Mason now.
Yeah.
What, the whole Harlem World movement?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he put his sister on to rap poorly.
And Blinky Blink.
Yeah, so, but, you know, not here too sidetracked, but, you know, shout out to... Chico and his family, Brooklyn.
Indeed.
Quick question somebody asked me. With all the performances and everything that's going on, the Rock the Bells and, you know, the Yankee Stadium, a lot of people are saying that they think Jay-Z is being uppity by not performing on these 50th anniversary shows. Do y'all care? Do you think he should be there?
Jay-Z's had a storied career.
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplished far more than most hip hop artists.
Most music artists, period.
Yeah. Like,
remember we talked about obligation? Remember we were talking about that?
Yeah, but I mean, I think in one sense, you could say that he's stepping aside. So all the people that didn't get as much props are getting them maybe a little bit more now. That's the way I would look at it.
That could be an angle.
I mean, he's got a whole display at the library in Brooklyn right now. I mean, I think that's his homage to hip hop right now.
Yeah.
Plus he's following. I see him in all the tour spots, you know, watching B and his daughter, like, he be in the crowd having a good time. So, you know, somebody brought that up to me, like, man, I feel like Jay should have popped out at Yankee Stadium. I feel like he's just for hip hop. He should have been there and 50th anniversary.
Wasn't he there, though? I thought he was there, but in the crowd or something. Am I missing this?
I don't quote me on that. I don't know if he's popped up. But
I didn't see that. But
a lot of people think he should have rocked, man, and did a set or something.
You know, honestly, I'm glad he didn't.
You are. Why you say that?
And this isn't, you know, that sounds like hate, but it's just the thing of Jay-Z sucks so much air out of the room wherever he goes. And
at this event, though?
Yes, because even what Lone was saying is like, if he goes, then everybody's talking about Jay-Z, regardless of whether he performs or not. You know, it's almost like it's almost like if the president shows up somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Like you could have been, it could have been something really great that happened, but the president was there. I mean, depending on which president it is, but,
yeah, good call.
But you know, like I think that really is a thing where if Jay shows up, like, cause then how do you only give Jay like 15 minutes?
You can't just give him 15.
I don't know how long the sets are. So
then he probably didn't want people asking him for money.
No, I mean, you can,
that's probably true.
That's probably true because he's kind of like the, he's told stories like this. He is the, you know, when you're the relative that really made it.
Yeah. Hey, man.
If Kanye performed, he would want 16 minutes. If Jay got 15.
15 minutes, yeah.
Come on.
Everybody's like, man, what about Rockefeller? They're part of it. They are. Huge part, actually. And I just see Jay up there bringing up Beans and bringing up Chris and Neef and bringing, I'm like, first of all, everybody can't go. Let's be clear. Everybody can't go.
You know what's messed up, though? How everybody's doing these homage tours.
Mm.
Rockefeller can't really do a true one because they need Jay-Z to do it.
So if Rockefeller came, if it was a Rockefeller
State Property can go.
State Property, Young Chris and Neef and them.
Freeway and Beans.
Memphis Bleak.
Yeah, but can Beans even like, does Beans perform anymore like that?
I saw a video of him rocking.
I don't think I want to go to a State Property show without Beans.
Yeah.
You got me there. You want to see Rail?
No. I only care about Beanie Sigel. Maybe Freeway.
It's always room for Freeway.
I mean, Freeway's dope. So, you know, but.
I like the Young Guns too. They had some heat.
Yeah,
they got a couple tracks, but they can't hold a whole show.
It's not a Beanie Sigel, you know.
It's not Beans. If Rockefeller came to
Rock, it's like No Limit is coming to the Vogue, but it's only like I don't know. Mia X,
it's like Little Italy,
Silk the Shocker. Like I'm not gonna
and
go.
Mr. Serve on.
Don't do Silk. Silk is a headline alone.
If they coming in that,
he's a headline.
Coming here. P at least got to get Banker's Life,
the Ghetto
or whatever
Twins.
They call it.
Yeah, the Ghetto Twins gonna be there.
If P ain't there, I can see it being at the Vogue.
Skullduggery gonna be in the building.
Because I promise you, if I cop No Limit tickets,
Mercedes gonna be there,
and it's Cain and Abel and Full Blooded and all them. I'm walking
that'll
right
be
out
to Emerson.
Yeah, I'm walking right out. Yeah, I don't want to see Full Blooded.
It's like booking a Wu Tang show, but it's only like You God and Capadonna and a whole bunch of B-list Wu Tang artists.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying, like, but they labeled as Wu-Tang.
Yeah, they say Wu-Tang is coming.
I ain't gonna hold you.
But you're missing, like, RZA, Jizzo, Dirty Bat. Well, obviously, but, you know, like, Ghost and Ray and Method Man aren't there.
Wu-Syndicate get popped up, though.
No. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
No.
Sons of Man and Wu-Syndicate. I might stay in there for a little bit, Jay Moore.
No,
maybe 10,
won't.
15 minutes.
The lies you tell.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because they would want money for that, and I don't see you spending money.
Yeah,
to
I'm
go
not
see
spending
that
money on that.
I'm definitely staying for Sons of Man over Cain and
I'm not even going there because I'm not going for neither one of those shows.
Nah, if you had to pick,
I don't care if it's not Cash Money, if it's No Limit, B-list artists, or Wu-Tang B-list artists.
When you go, tell me
I'm
how
I'm not
it
going
was.
To either one of them.
You wouldn't pop out for at least one?
No, all right. Why
there you have it.
Time is sensitive, man.
Yeah, man. I got better things to do. My bills got to be paid, too.
What about Mac?
Yeah.
I'll check out Mac.
Thank you. Okay, at least you honest.
But not if it's a No Limit show and only person there
you
is
You told me
Mac
was going to be here by himself. That you'd get me there earlier than you'd get me if you said it's a No Limit show and you told me about, you know,
like some shady
you said Sons of Funk and
some shady stuff's going on here.
DJ Green.
You don't want to see. You don't want to see. Here pushing inside of me live.
Hell no.
Bruh. Now you just really took me back when you said Sons of Funk.
What if what if 3-6 Mafia came but Paul and Juicy J didn't show up?
Absolutely not.
Crunchy Black?
Yeah, it was Crunchy. You said 3-6 Mafia was here, but it was Crunchy Black.
Two of them didn't pass now.
Two of them didn't pass.
Gangsta Boo's gone and Lord Infamous is gone.
That's true.
And I wanna say what's his name? Koopsta? Is he still alive?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm going if it's
Juicy J.
That's
why so many groups can't tour.
Yeah.
Because somebody, that's why, you know, when you just think about the groups that we grew up on, that's why I'm like, okay, I'm glad, Jodeci got it back together.
True.
And, you know, because it's even in groups there's only four or five people, it's hard to make sure all of them are alive 30 years later.
I just saw a clip of Jodeci performing, and I don't even think, I think Devontae was gone. It might have been just Dalvin KC.
Was
there.
No, I saw.
Was everybody? Was that? He was there too.
They were here. So
yeah, it was just here Sunday.
No, not. I'm talking
I heard him rehearsing while I was at the Indians game Sunday, and you could hear him rehearsing.
Oh, were?
Like, yeah, yeah. But I was like, dang, Jodeci actually sound good. They got their act together. Literally,
they had a little down period, but tied to Jodeci.
Life happens.
But you know, just think about all the groups, just the group, not the affiliates, who can't really tour. You know, Wu-Tang technically can tour, but, you know, there's really something missing with No Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, the son have been filling
there's so
in
many
for
of them, but there's yeah, so many of them. Like there's 9 or 10 of them.
Hell, yeah. even when ODB was alive, he was missing a lot
well,
of
yeah,
shows.
That's true.
True.
But bringing all the way back.
No acknowledgement. And even in this, you know, I've said this on more than one occasion. Really, I didn't see any acknowledgement of the Fat Boys, even though two of them have left us. But it's like, damn, nobody wants to talk about the contribution of the Fat Boys.
Heavy D as well.
That's one. Because we never talk about the Fat Boys.
Nah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, y'all left out some real pillars.
Heavy D pretty much put Uptown Records on the map by himself.
Yeah.
So he was the artist until what, Mary J. and who else?
They had there? Guy.
Guy, okay.
They had Guy. But as far as hip hop, yeah, it was Heavy D.
Absolutely.
Shoot, KC told a story where when they drove up to New York and was, you know, trying to get the deal, and Heavy D popped his head into the office and heard them singing and basically was like, if you don't sign him, I'm going to sign him. You know what I'm saying? So, to your point, he was like that, though. He could have literally just scooped them up and...
Well, because at one point after Andre Harrell left, Heavy D was the president of Uptown.
Yeah, because I think he's the one that actually signed Soul For Real.
Soul For Real, Monifa. He had a couple people there.
And he was doing some good production as well.
You know, and plus he still had Heavy D and the boys, and you know, then his solo he had a solo record.
Vanessa Cinquez.
Vanessa Cinquez, yeah, they were there early. But
then he was on Rock. Remember that?
That's right, he was
on Rock, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Joey.
But the thing is, when you put the CDs on the table, you put the Heavy D CDs on the table.
Oh, here we go.
More than
man.
Solid. More than solid.
Nah, he did have a nice discography.
You know, there was never a whack Heavy D and the boys album.
He actually has some history here in the city.
Yeah,
so
during
the Black Expo, he was performing along with Kid and Play, and one of his dancers got killed, fell off the parking ramp at Market Square Arena.
Yeah.
And that's what actually was the inspiration behind Troy. And a lot of people say Troy is the best hip-hop song ever, which is arguably could be.
I like that argument.
When, you know, because people always are still critical and say, you know, hip-hop doesn't have any emotional depth. And I was like, well, that's because you listen to the radio.
Yeah, they don't listen to the right stuff.
You know, when I listen, and now as I'm older, I can barely get through that song just because of people I've lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little harder to listen to. You know, at one point I just acknowledged this great song. I love the loop. I love everything about it, you know, just as a song. But now when you get older and you've experienced a lot more things and you've experienced loss, I'm like, I can barely listen to that whole. I can't listen to Beans verse on This Can't Be Life.
Man.
Like, there are certain songs that take you to a different place once you've lived more life.
Oh, yeah.
So, and
yeah, there's songs I can never listen to again right now. Like, as soon as it comes on, it's like, nah, I'm cool.
We're not doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, music doesn't do that for me.
Really?
Really?
Mm-mm.
You don't have any records? You ain't got to share them, but just.
I don't. None that make me, like, super emotional like that. I mean, there's songs that I think that are, like, really great, but.
Fox got one.
Oh, man. Out of Fox Legend.
And yeah. I have to listen to that because I'm his DJ. But man.
Man, right?
That song.
You can't get around that one, huh?
Every time.
Yeah. You can't just be like, all right, I'm going to take a minute here.
We ain't going to do this one today.
Yeah. He'd be like, yeah, that
we
are.
We definitely going to do this one. Get the people what they want. So, you guys are, Jay Moore, you're very popular, man.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, man. I woke up and saw you on a TV show, man, on a documentary.
TV show.
Yeah, saw you on TV, man. I saw a documentary called Ladies First.
You were in the shot, too.
Yeah, I was in there. Yeah. Ladies First, a story. Women in Hip Hop. I believe there are 3 current episodes on this.
I think it's 5.
I've only watched.
I've watched 3, all the way, I think 3 episodes up to 4. About the 16-minute mark.
4.
Yeah, I watched
All of them yesterday.
Watched until I saw myself, and then
no, what happened at the scene?
I did too. Did you really?
No, I actually did. I was like, all right.
I turned it off since I saw that. I was like, man, I don't want to.
It's well produced and
very good show.
And it's really good.
What happened at the 16th minute mark?
Well, all of a sudden,
what happened? Saw, you know, Meg Thee Stallion talking about her contract.
Uh huh.
And then all of a sudden, I hear a very familiar voice.
Yeah.
And I see a very familiar face.
Oh.
And setting.
Yeah, talking about how. She owes a certain amount. She, you know, she doesn't keep the lion's share of the revenue that's generated from her music. And I was like, that's familiar. I was like, oh, that's me. Yeah. And people are hitting me up. Like, yeah. I think it was Sunny Paradise. I saw he was like, you know, congratulations on, you know, Major 7th and Jay Moore being in this Netflix documentary. And I'm thinking,
I saw it and I was like, huh?
And I was like, huh? I was like, it's news to me, you know.
Definitely news to me.
That's why when y'all sent it to me, I'm like, what is this? I didn't.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing. It was just that still shot, yeah. I believe, or video. And I'm like, what? Where is this from?
Yeah. I tried to do a screen record, but you can't screen record Netflix.
Oh, I can.
Well, sir, I don't have that privilege. All right. but I couldn't screen record it, but I found it by logging into my computer and just took like a, you know, still or whatever. And when I watched it, I couldn't believe it, man. I'm like, this really is us. I'm pretty sure they didn't reach out to us to use this.
No, not pretty sure.
Oh, 100% sure that they definitely didn't reach out to use our footage. And it's from 2020, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it?
Yeah, because 2020.
Yeah, that's why I was confused, because when Sonny shared, I saw it too. I was really tired. I was telling Mike, we talked about this when we were working on some stuff a few days ago, and I was like, I was exhausted, and yep. I was getting ready to go to bed, and I just happened to look at Facebook, and I saw that Sonny had shared it. Like, man, it's cool to wake up and see, you know, Jay Moore and Meja in this Netflix documentary. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, I'm like, all right, what's going on?
Right.
So I was like, okay, there's a women's lady documentary. So I watched the first two episodes, didn't see anything. Then I went to bed and then I woke up to everything. But
no, because you know, I think like the next day, my homegirl Mel had sent, like, somehow she had recorded it, you know, but then, like, you know, there are people who don't realize that you're aware, and like, they're sending you congratulations during the course of the day. I'm like, oh, I just saw you on TV. Or I was like, was that you? You know, because they want to make sure. And like, while I'm like, it was cool, but at the same time, it's very bittersweet, because first of all, had I just known, I'd have said some things like, hey, check the documentary out. I'm in
minute
16 of episode 3 or whatever.
Right.
But you know, you feel some type of way about your face and your voice being used in something that's generating profit, and no one even asked you.
And they miscredited.
Cool.
And they miscredited. Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's almost like we're almost on the other side of like somebody getting sampled and they didn't clear the sample.
Somebody made that analogy on a post I had. Yeah. Sense. It's just like sampling records.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense.
So, I mean, like I said, it's in a way a cool moment. But at the same time, like, I'm thinking what they could have pulled anything from any part of any one of our shows. And it could have looked, they could have had us out here looking crazy.
Yeah,
true.
Luckily, it was something that was reasonable, you know, because what if they picked a section where, like, I said, well, you know, Meg, the last album wasn't any good or whatever. Yeah. And then you just think we're hating on women. It could have went a whole nother way. I'm glad it didn't.
I thought that it definitely had a possibility.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, like I said, it's
not that we hate women or anything.
Yeah. Like, you know, but it's just like, you know, but we're critical from an artistic standpoint of everybody.
Yep.
You know, but whenever you criticize women, people think, oh, these guys hate women. You know?
I got so many messages, and I'm, you know, just paraphrasing here, but they had the vibe of, you know, we out the hood now. Y'all made it. This is amazing. Life is about to change. Aren't you so happy? Really? And I'm like, no.
No, no.
And further,
help me quit my job.
Right. And when you put so much time into branding something, you want your name to be associated with anything that's shared from your product. That's just common sense. When you build a name up and you work on a brand for so long, you want that to be associated with anything that anybody sees. If not, what's the point of building a brand?
It would have made me feel a little bit better if they at least said, New Old Heads Podcast.
That's all. Right. That right there, I'd have been like, hey.
Because now people can look us up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Easier. You know.
And Lone showed me when I was over, we were over here working, he showed me in the archives, went back and saw the footage in the corner. Over there on the left says New Old Heads Podcast, the whole video. Go through the description. It says New Old Heads Podcast in the description. So it's not like everything just said Bringing Down the Band everywhere. It's clear. It flashes up New Old Heads Podcast. So there's like three different ways that you can see that it's the New Old Heads Podcast. And it was just bittersweet when I saw the Bringing Down the Band. It's just like I literally put my hand on my face like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And then I called Terry probably after I saw your inbox, and a few more people hit me up, and I hit him up, and we just both were like, man, they messed up the name.
What's crazy is it was so fast that they could have sampled it the right way without having to credit us as far as monetarily. But even if that's the case, at least get our names right so that if people want to find out more or see more of our shows, you can look it up that way.
Yep.
I don't know.
You know, that, like, I felt some kind of way because there was They couldn't see the whole logo, but it was, you know, someone who is no longer a sponsor of the show.
That part irked me as well.
That was the fact that they are getting this international look and they are no longer breaking.
So cut the check.
And it was obvious. Yeah. Like, you can't miss them, we'll say. Yeah. Couldn't miss them in the shot.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's more reasoning to partner with the New Old Heads. So if you're out there, you know.
We were featured in the Netflix documentary,
which is, I think, number 6th or number 7th most viewed thing on all of Netflix this week.
Is it ranked that high?
Yes, it is.
Does this mean that, like, if it does awards, we can get, like, Emmys and stuff?
Hey. I want mine.
I want to see the end of the episode if we got a credit on the end, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
If it says New Old Head somewhere in the credits, I want to know that.
I mean, even as somebody who literally owns Breaking Down the Band, I was upset. So
that's when you know.
It was one of those things, like, when I found out, I was like, all right, cool. They probably just used us a little bit, but they didn't reach out to us. I was like, technically, they don't have to. Mm-hmm. They don't have to reach out to us, you know.
Because it would be cool if they did.
It would be cool if they did. It would be cool if they did, you know. And like you guys said, like you said, Jay, like, when I was watching, I was like, how are they going to quote us out of context? Or how are they going to, what are they going to use to make the doc look good? I was like, it's not going to be a good clip. Like, no matter what it is, like, I came into it with a pessimist attitude, and then of course I watched the clip and was like, oh, it's a good clip. And then I just was staring at the name Bringing Down the Band. Like,
I couldn't get past it.
And I understand that it's probably somebody that just didn't dot the I's and cross the T's.
It's probably some intern work.
It was just like, remember a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. And they used DJ Bandcamp's picture for the Bandcamp music site.
Yep.
Which wasn't right.
It's the same thing. But I don't know, man. It was frustrating because it's like, I understand fair use. I deal with it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think technically there's probably nothing we can do about it. But the fact that they kind of misquoted us is mislabeled us. It's just disheartening, especially from my perspective, like, the entire episode is about the exploitation of Black women.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of sat with me funny. It's just like, at the same time, and Dream Hampton's the one that produced this one, if you're familiar with her. At the same time where you're making all these arguments about exploitation of people and artists and an industry, and then you, like, legitimately don't reach out to somebody it's not like this is like a YouTube documentary.
Right.
This is a Netflix documentary, you know, and I understand that probably the main reason they didn't reach out to us and maybe other people is because once you reach out, you start to create that's when the conversations start about, do you want to use this footage and how much do you want to pay for it? And everybody has a budget, you know, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So if you don't reach out, you can lean on fair use in that aspect if you do it in the right manner. And they did technically do it in the right manner. But at the same time, it's like the whole thing about exploitation, and you're kind of exploiting.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the goal of this documentary is to make money.
Yeah. And they sold it to Netflix. And not like this is not like a PBS special.
So it's already made the money.
It's made the money. And they used the least path of resistance to get to whatever the end goal is. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever we got to do, let's scrape the barrel. Just get through it. Clearly, this was not properly thought out. It's more of a, we're just looking and researching, algorithm searching, we surf and boom, we got it. Let's throw it in there and bow, get to the bread.
Yeah, I think it was an oversight. I don't think it was intentionally.
No.
I don't think it was something that was intentionally done to, you know, to harm us or anything. It's just what it is.
I know
representation matters.
We say that word all the time, but
again,
this is, we talk about capitalism, but remember we were sitting there and I'm like, man, this is one of the examples where it makes perfect sense for what you described.
Their goal for this entire documentary is, yes, to create some really dope thing for hip hop.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, you know, if you have the chance to, you know, bring up people within your culture at the same time, which they obviously thought that we were doing something right because they put us in there.
True.
You'd think that maybe you would do your due diligence on something where you're going to sell something to make a lot of money off of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even when they were talking about some of the female artists who were getting left out of things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
You know, so it kind of all ties together.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, but from what I did watch up to the 16 minute mark in episode 3, it was a pretty good documentary.
The documentary itself, very well done. From what I've had a chance to watch so far. So shout out to them. I think it's necessary. It's nice on Absolutely. The anniversary of hip hop. I get all that part. We're not hating on that. The documentary is fire, but.
No, I thought it was really good. I thought it was put together well.
Yeah.
Other than our, it was weird because it seems like ours was the only outside influence that was in the whole documentary.
That's, yeah.
Because I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm like, they didn't start pulling stuff from Joe Budden or.
No, they did. Well, the only thing they used, but he was in there. They used Snoop. Snoop talking about pretty much
bad about somebody.
Talking bad about the WAP song, essentially.
Yeah.
So it was him saying that, and then they were using his own stuff against him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So at least
that didn't happen to us. That is my one criticism of the this, and this is something I brought up whenever these conversations come up about how, you know, basically men act in hip hop as far as like the content, not as far as what happens in the actual offices and, you know, the exploitation and not taking women seriously as executives, because I understand that's a real thing and it's a problem still. But as someone who's been, you know, outside for the better part of 2 decades, even more at this point, you know, these records that are exploitive and demeaning towards women only work because women like them.
Exactly.
And, you know, that might be controversial to say, because I remember when the whole tip drill thing came out and it was like, men need to stop, you know, stop playing these songs and stop making these songs. And no one wants to put the onus on women to stop dancing to these songs.
We were definitely outside and got a clear cut view as to how that song rang off,
you know. And so now it's at a point where that's almost like the secret formula to where, you know what, we'll just skip the middleman and having men be remarkably disrespectful in a way. We'll just go ahead and disrespect ourselves and make that the chorus of the song.
Right.
And the women will have the same reaction. You know, I've always said if women control the culture of what happens in these spaces, if women said, OK, we don't want to be disrespected, we don't want to hear any of this nasty stuff, bees ain't ish, whatever. Like, because I remember when that song would ring off and women would be out there on the dance floor when Snoop and Dre did that.
That's
record.
True.
That women, true. Women did not walk off the dance floor when that would come on.
This filth.
Yeah. And so, like, you can say, oh, these men are irresponsible, it's disrespectful to women. It's only disrespectful to women because that's what women respond to. Because if women responded to what Rhapsody was doing, we'd play Rhapsody in the club. Everybody talks about how much
crazy.
All these women talk about, oh, we love Rhapsody. This and no, you don't. Because when I went to go see Rhapsody, you know who it was? It was white people and dudes.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bunch of black women in there. But I guarantee when Sexy Red come to town.
Oh, talking about that Brown thing.
And so that's going to be a situation. When it's DaBaby or any male artist who's over here talking real disrespectful and crazy, you couldn't keep women out of there.
What's the saying go? Sex sells. So now that, I mean, they just took the ball back, put it in their court.
True.
Because honestly, right now, women are kind of on the top of hip hop, but it's like they're all using the same formula. And I know we get backlash for saying that, but it's the absolute truth. Every top female artist right now is using the exact same formula, exact same content, behind different bars, different beats, and a different voice.
Look, man, you can't fight capitalist exploitation with capitalism, no matter what it is.
Bar.
It doesn't matter who's getting exploited. If somebody else runs into that role, if women are controlling it, it's still exploitation. It's just people don't pay attention to that aspect of it. It's just what it is.
You know, so I mean, like I said, when you talk to DJs, you know, they would rather not play these records. I'm talking about the male DJs. Mm. You know, they would.
You've heard some.
They would rather play the hip hop that they like.
Oh, okay.
When most DJs,
they don't want to hear that though.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in these spaces, in the business I'm in, basically my whole thing is to make sure that black women 21 to say 31 enjoy themselves in certain spaces.
Right.
Okay. We make sure that we have the drinks that they like. We play the songs that they like. We have the lighting profile that, you know, is most conducive to them feeling safe.
Yeah.
You know, and if they didn't want to hear these records, we wouldn't play them. I'll take you even further behind the curtain. When I was working in commercial radio for Clear Channel, which now iHeart, I always got to specify that. I remember sitting down with the operations manager. The operations manager is basically the person who's above the program director of your local radio station. Sometimes he is the program director, except he's programming more than one station. they have all these charts and graphs and everything about, you know, the songs that are coming in and how they're researching. Because once again, it's not about feel, it's about research, because it's about what you can sell. And
analytics.
Yeah, and analytics. And they have, and it's broken up by men and women. Okay. This was, I'll never forget this. He took the all the analytics that had to do with men's likes and dislikes, but was researching. Basura. And he threw it away, basically dropped it in the trash can. Everything that you hear on the radio is based on almost basically 95, if not 99%, is based on the likes and dislikes of women. So when you hear a song, be like, ooh, why are they playing that nasty song? That's terrible. It's because women like it.
Let me ask you this question. I got an interesting take on this then. If men are in the position of power in this aspect, let's say the clubs, and let's say Clear Channel and the radio, what if men just forced the other music, you know, didn't play that other stuff at all?
They'd be looking for jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, you know, there's a burden on men to perform and make sure they keep that money rolling in. Once again, we talk about capitalism.
I think it
doesn't matter what those men like, because, you know, the research tells them this is what the ladies like.
So where does it start then?
I'm going to go ahead and put the responsibility on the women. Ladies, if you are really, truly offended, you want this tide of disrespectful, nasty music to stop. You got to start walking off the dance floor.
It's not going to happen. R. Kelly is still getting played.
It's women out there dancing. And so if you hear something that's so nasty and so foul and so disrespectful, but you like, when you put your drink down and be like, girl, let's get to the dance floor.
It's not going
to
happen.
I'm sorry, but like, you cannot ask men to go against their own financial interests when they have the burden of performance to make sure they stay employed.
There's grown women right now that if a Too Short song comes on, they're going to sing it word for word and be all the way with it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
When you could be in a room full of women and yell, what's my favorite word?
And they're going
to
say it.
And they're going to say exactly what they need to say.
They're going
to
say it. But I mean,
so
mind you, people are having a good time. Okay. To a certain extent, if you want a certain kind of change to happen, you got to take your party hat off and decide, okay, if we're not going to do this anymore, we have to be dedicated to it.
So there's no responsibility on the people playing the music and all this stuff to play Milk This Cow by Capadonna or anything like that.
Why do you always bring up that record?
I can't wait. That's what I've been waiting on.
I don't even know what this song sounds like. It was my kid.
Yeah, I want you. Please play Milk This Cow like 1:30 in the morning.
No, that doesn't work in any setting. Let's take Milk This Cow.
Yeah, we can use Milk This Cow for the example.
No, but seriously though.
We ain't going to hear that in the club.
It doesn't matter what the song is. My point is like, is there any responsibility on the purveyors of power, or is it all on, or are you saying that the women have pretty much the power in this aspect, they just don't necessarily realize they do? Or is it just one of those things where it's just like a catch 22 to where
you do what the market will bear? And at this point, like, I would love, like, at the very, like, basically at the end, at the beginning of the night, before anybody gets to my certain establishment, everybody has to listen to some Killer Mike. But you know, it just doesn't work. As good as I think the songs are, as good as the songs are.
Yeah, don't say I think. Yeah, those are dope songs.
As good as the songs are, even the song that he got from DJ Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we tried to sneak that one in, you know, but it just doesn't, work.
It's not nasty.
Women don't like it.
Not nasty enough, yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, men, we're always going to do what we can to impress women or pretty much stomach what they like. Because you want them around. You don't want to walk into a spot just full of dudes all the time. That's just not how it works. You want them to feel comfortable, and you pretty much appease to them most of the time, and you sprinkle in a little bit of what you like on top of that.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's just a quality of a man that, you know what I'm saying, chasing a woman. Not even necessarily chasing a woman, but that's just one of the qualities we possess. The dynamic of it. You know what I'm saying? So
good assessment.
With them liking the vulgar music from the women, is just somebody that looks like them is saying it now. So that's the reason why it's so popular and is going to continue to be popular. And they're still not going to care about the socially conscious rap because they didn't care about it when the men were saying it. So, of course, they're not going to care about it when Rhapsody or Bahamadia or whoever else is talking about it, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just one of them things.
Think about when you talk about Jay Moore's point about the power of women, right? Mm-hmm. Think about what we saw with the list that had Shorty Ice Spice 50th on
that's
New York
just
rappers.
Nuts.
Like, she was 50th all
like
time.
New York rappers.
She was 50th the greatest New York rappers of all time.
That's
on
crazy.
Complex.
Mm-hmm. That's to, crazy.
But you got that like speaks six songs. In
but that,
that
speaks the to the power that you're talking
well,
about.
Well, yeah, yeah, because it's like.
And now, granted, it's Complex. Now, we know. How, come on now. Uh-huh. We didn't chop up many of their lists. But when I saw that, I said, you have got to you got to be kidding me.
And people say that we do clickbait.
Come on, man.
Bro, yeah, we the clickbait people now.
This is that we put a face behind it. And you can see it come out of our mouths in real time.
Yeah.
So,
and we actually mean what we say.
Yeah, absolutely.
The boardroom, we can't see the boardroom people that put these trash lists together, right?
That's a different subject. You'll, not really, but kind of.
Yeah, you're going to give the 50th yes. greatest New York rapper to somebody that doesn't, I mean, who has like maybe like an EP.
Moment music, man. And it like 10 years from now, she will not be mentioned on that list.
That's just where we are, man. I mean, I like I said, I appreciate... You know what I've watched so far, other than the fact that we've been.
It was a good app, good show.
We were yeah, it's a good show. Very good show.
We should have gotten properly credited for our work, which they used in their work. But you know, when they go into how disrespectful, you know, these male artists and I like I said, I came in here and kicked NWA's back in for some of the things that they said.
And I disagreed.
You weren't on the show.
I know.
You weren't on this show.
I disagree from afar.
The things that I said, you can't agree with.
Yeah.
The examples I gave, you can't agree with. But like I said, when you talk about the disrespect that it's almost like people, women will say, well, this is empowering for us now. And so, you know, the argument I'll make, so you're empowered by acting like the men who have been disrespectful to you all this time, and now you're taking
or who that, took your power
who I, you know, like I said, I but I think it's different where you're like now saying we can be just as nasty as these men who we think are terrible people. And it's like, is that really what you want to take from manhood? Is the worst part is the things you find most distasteful about how men act, and that's how you empower yourself? But once again, I'm probably getting into a place where I'm definitely gonna get women mad at me for even saying something like that out loud, but it is what it is. And like I said, I see how the culture moves in real time.
Well, in case you haven't been paying attention, we have been making a lot of people mad. So I guess
it's different when you make women mad.
Yeah, you're right.
It's different when you make women.
You're right. That's a different type of mad. I'm with you when you're right. But yeah. Just so you know, there's thousands of grown men that are mad at us right now. y'all hang in there, though.
Women, go ahead. You know what? If you want to be like men, go ahead and join in and be mad at us, too.
Yeah. Just like and subscribe. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Gotta go back into character.
Yeah.
The guy in the gang gang.
Gang
guy. Nipsey Hussle shirt.
I don't know. Not...
They let anybody podcast. Who are these guys? Yeah, is that your man's? Oh man, I saw a lot of.
Yeah. Who are we? Yeah, we're on. You know,
y'all need to just go back and watch the whole show because context matters. And,
now we talked about how that's today's the art of war was trash.
I mean that's just is what it is. We already know that. And if probably, somebody feels a certain way about that, then kick rocks. But as far as like some of these the clips and takes or hot takes, like y'all like to call them.
I hate that phrase.
I do too.
Nothing I do is a hot take.
It's not a hot take.
Yeah.
It's a whole conversation that was reduced to a time slot for Instagram or TikTok or, you know what I'm saying? One of these socials. So in order for you to actually get the whole context of the conversation, you should probably watch the whole show.
I was told multiple times, y'all capping. I'm like, you did not
watch the whole.
Watch.
Just like when we had.
I could clarify it right now.
Clarify.
Yeah. My Timbaland comments?
Yeah,
I'll clarify it just for everybody.
We got you back now.
Everything that I said, I mean.
Let's get that. Thank you. Yeah, look right in the camera and tell you. Yeah, make sure they know that.
Did Byron, Shasta Brother to the Night, did he gas up the whole situation a little bit much?
A little bit. Oh, he jumped out the window. Yeah,
maybe.
He did.
Shasta the homie.
Yep, that's the homie.
But I stand by everything that I said. And I also stand by all the respect that I gave Timbaland. And I also stand by all the praise that I gave Timbaland and everything that I said. But if you break it down, the nuanced conversation of Timbaland's work, when he does a whole project, is great. Mm-hmm. But when he is that guest producer that comes in from the outside, it's like somebody's like, one, you have to understand the era that we're in, right?
Right.
And the era was, I need one of these, I need one of these, I need one of these, and I need a Timbaland. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Timbaland is the pioneer of that, in my opinion. So I'm not disrespecting that aspect. But when you go back to it, when you listen to a lot of these projects now, my argument is that those I Need a Timbaland's, those beats do not
fit.
They're not cohesive with the rest of the albums most of the time. And I would even say this, people like, what records? I don't think Dirt Off Your Shoulders fits. I think it's a good record. But to me, when I listen to that, even when you listen to that beat by itself, I'm not a fan of it.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with doesn't fit on the Blueprint.
I like that record.
I like it too, but it doesn't fit on the Blueprint.
Yeah. He's got one of those. Which record did he have? He had like four records, and I think it was the one with Big Pimpin' on it. He produced like four of them. But there's like a couple records that he produced on there that I think fit really well. But I don't even think Big Pimpin' fits. I think that is a complete left field. I think it's a dope record for what it is. But it's just like, it's just so different when you hear Big Pimpin' than when you hear the rest of
it. Yeah.
It's just
so
funny different.
Though, because everybody that's arguing the point aren't mentioning any hip hop records from him. They all say Aaliyah.
And Genuine.
Genuine. Missy. Yes. Aaliyah. I already say Aaliyah.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake. What's
Nelly
his name?
Furtado. Nelly,
and they always say those artists.
And part of that reason was because when I made the clip, because we do all this ourselves.
Talk to him.
When I clipped that, I just didn't think about it. The fact that we were talking about his hip hop, or that I was speaking from the angle of his hip hop related stuff, not his Justin Timberlake, not his Aaliyah, not his Missy, not his stuff.
If y'all actually watched the episode, I myself say, whoa, 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 whoa. What about Missy? What about Genuine? Brother to the Night says, no, we talking about hip hop. So cool. Let's keep it in the context of that. Now, if we want to be honest, to me, Timbaland's always been one of my favorite. His originality, way he makes his approach to it. He's always been a dope creative. But I had this conversation with someone who told us we was capping that didn't watch the episode.
Of course not.
And I said, dog, when you think about Timbaland, all the people that Terry named when we were talking about outside of hip hop and what they were bringing up in the comments, that's some of the stuff that's pushed to the forefront of my mind from his work, is that great stuff with Missy, the fire stuff with Aaliyah. Right? Like Justin Timberlake, Nelly Furtado. Those records are fire. Like, when I think about Tim, it's like, yo, he really got a very versatile bag. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he can pop out with Hov and, you know, do this and that. But those records are the one that make me put him at GOAT level status.
Absolutely.
Because he was able to cultivate those projects, bro.
Yeah,
that's not a diss.
No, if you take Aaliyah and, you take his early work, you take the Missy stuff, you take Justin Timberlake, even Bubba Sparxxx. I would take him out, because we were talking about, at least I was talking specifically about when Tim injected himself on a project.
Yes.
Not when he did a whole project together. And I even said, I think that Timbaland stuff sounds better when it's all Timbaland. So then it's all Timbaland. It doesn't sound like some random left field type thing coming on over here. When you take all those greatness that he's done as a collective, and then you just focus on the stuff that he was just selected as a producer, it's different.
I agree.
It's not the same. And I'm sorry if you don't agree.
We get a Timberland beat. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it was.
That's what it was. It was like, get a Timberland beat, get a Swizz Beatz beat. All right, let's do something for the West Coast.
For real.
Let's get
Battle Cat.
And for the mixtapes, let's get something from Premiere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very much piecemeal. Like that.
It's like an era of that.
Especially after Life After Death.
That was a formula.
It was like, oh, we got it.
Whoever's a hot producer is, we got to get him to make at least one track on every album.
Yeah.
I need one of those. That was the era. Let me get one of those.
And you had to be that artist in order to get one of those.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the budgets had to be crazy for you to get four or five of those.
Come on, man.
You know, if you could get Pharrell, Timberland, Swizz Beatz, and Premier all on your album, that's a budget. So, but this is when records were selling, too.
But nah, man.
Unless it's Nostradamus. And we've talked about that.
Yeah, we don't want to bring that up.
Yeah.
Project Windows was fire. But, Long, to your point, I'm glad you clarified that. And you've always, since I've known you, said that about Dirt Off Your Shoulders. Like, that's so, you've always said that.
And people can like it. It's cool. When I listened to that beat by itself, and I even went back, because shouts to CAD, because he's the one that sent me the Fade to Black doc to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can hear that beat isolated.
Yep.
That beat is not good, man. I don't care.
You got to understand what kind of speakers I was listening to that on. Bang, bang,
bang, bang. And then in the background, there's like this phaser. It's like, come on, man.
Probably sounded good in that studio.
It probably sounded good. But if you turn anything up loud enough and the drums are nice, it's going to sound good. And Timbaland is good and the best at
what's crazy in that same
scene. The drum programming is stupid.
In that same scene, like, he played the beat for what later on it became the potion.
Now that beat is fire. I like that one. But I'm with you, Long. Yeah, thank you for
clarifying.
Yeah, sounds like you it's watched whatever. The episode. Yeah,
I didn't go back and watch it. No,
no, you just
he did have some good stuff for Ludacris. On Ludacris is back for the first time.
Agreed.
It's not across the board.
No, it's not.
It's not across the board like that. But I said that in the episode too.
Okay, here's another example. What was it? Venus versus Mars off of that was Blueprint.
Three?
It was like, I just remember immediately hearing that song being like, what the hell?
So, still doesn't mean he isn't great.
No.
Exactly.
It isn't, but it's like sometimes, but when we make the statement, sometimes he has the corny beat on the album. That's what we're talking, we can point to specific things.
Come on.
That's what it is. I mean.
I thought you did a great job, buddy. Thought you did a great job,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, I probably, you know.
And you know what the reaction to this part of the podcast will be?
What's that?
Shut your white ass up.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's going to be. Take that hat off.
Hey. No.
Crickets.
I'm going to wear a different one every single episode from here on out. Yeah. It's going to look exactly the same, though.
All right.
There we go.
That'll make them mad.
I have 37 more of these.
Gang, gang, gang.
Just take it off and throw it at the camera. All right, man. Let's.
I'm not even going to clip this up, so I just, what I mean.
I love the explanation, though. So
all they had to do is watch the original video.
That's it.
Yeah. Episode 300 and, I don't know.
Somewhere back in there.
49.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, man, we are back. Shout out to the partners as always. Shout out to the chat. We've been running my mouth. I hadn't even looked at the chat, I'm sure. Hopefully everybody's still in there rocking. This actually happened in real time last show. We got a chance to hear the snippet of the great Melly Mel's diss track to Eminem.
Oh, my God.
So I thought it was bad audio, but Jay Moore said, no, this is the real audio. So
gunshots going on.
Yeah. And he's backtracked, gentlemen. He has released a long statement, and he has apologized for his diss record. He said the execution fell short.
So the execution,
yeah, really?
The execution wasn't excellent.
It wasn't excellent.
But also, didn't he just start off his rap by saying no apologies?
Yes.
Okay. His rap wasn't bad.
It was terrible.
Ooh, let Pee Wee Herman in the building.
Come on, that was terrible, man.
I don't know.
They let Pee Wee Herman in the Hall of Fame.
Was it really that bad,
though? Was that bad.
I think the framing of it was like bad.
Oh my God.
Like trying to battle Eminem with that type of,
but that alone is bad.
But by itself, it wasn't horrible. Man,
it was exhaustingly bad. I'm in a hip hop group on Facebook, and this dude made this long post about Melly Mel and how he went at Eminem and he did what he was supposed to do and blah blah blah.
And it's for the 50th years of hip hop and
you don't like how they try to tie it in?
Man, killing him in the comments. I had to comment. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Can I play devil's advocate?
Go ahead.
So.
How?
Follow me now. Follow me. I'm going to play devil's advocate. So.
Got me defending Melly Mel over here.
Hey, shout out to Melly Mel. OG, legend. We ain't going to deny that. But let me play devil's advocate. So, hip-hop was founded off. Hip-hop has always been competitive, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, technically, 50th anniversary, one of the pioneers and. You know, father figures, if you want to call it a hip-hop, comes out and gives out a little smoke. That's on brand with hip-hop, no?
Man, that was
you had all this time to make an album or song.
That was a little 22 that was getting shot in Harlem Nights. Everybody else is coming out with 4.5s and 9s and Glocks.
I'm just saying.
And then you come out with that little pop.
Man!
You can't do that. And he don't want to have himself in that light on the 50th anniversary of hip hop either. Yeah,
so let me
because that's just fair. It's not a good look.
So let me ask y'all this. Does Melly Mel, the OG, have real ones around him that told him take that down?
No,
is that what it is?
Absolutely not.
No, I'm talking about pulling it down and apologizing.
He knew it was trash.
Like he saw the response.
He's been sending the response, so he had to double back like, I done messed up.
So you think he pulled it down on his own?
I don't think he told him. I don't think.
Oh, okay.
It's still out there.
He's always been this very supremely arrogant person. Yeah. So, like, do you really think that his people could tell him anything otherwise anyways, you know?
I think I'm not even going to go there either because I don't know. Okay. So I'm going to just leave that alone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either, but.
Look, Method Man said when he was on Math Hoffa's show, he used that as a reference. He was like, man, Melly Mel, he used to always hate on us back in the 90s. Yeah,
he don't respect that. Any of the newer artists.
He thinks everything that happened after 1983 is null and void.
Yeah. Yeah, so to your point, Lone, I never thought about it like that. Who's going to really tell him to...
I don't know. I mean,
I thought he might have some real people around him that was like, nah, fam.
Look, man, for all the stuff, all the interviews I've seen where he's talking about everyone, Jay-Z,
yep.
Kendrick Lamar, nobody listens to that, Eminem. Okay, if you gonna talk crazy like this,
yeah.
Then you need to get in the studio and it needs to be
fire.
Phenomenal. Yes,
and then when it sounded like he's playing a song through Real Audio Player,
gunshots and snares.
I was like, no, like, because the thing is, I was like, oh, Melly Mel got a joint out. Let's see what that, because I was actually interested to see how it was going to go.
I wasn't checking for it.
Wait a minute, Jay Moore, if I'm not mistaken, man,
because I know.
Didn't you hold your phone up and hit play and start laughing?
Because I thought it was going to be, because like, it was immediately bad, and I was like,
this man counted to eight.
It was just like,
he did.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that was in there, wasn't it? I thought you was trolling, but I just thought about
it.
That's a Woosah moment for me, man. It's like, I don't need that energy.
Yeah.
I just don't.
It's not like, because, you know, if it was really something that could have grabbed the moment, somebody talking about it, you know, they... At one point, Machine Gun Kelly got a little battery in his back because he talked about Eminem. This didn't help Melly Mel at all.
His next album was a rock album.
True.
If that says anything.
He dipped his toe in and got right on out, yeah. But you know,
with this record, had they done an upgraded kit on the production,
no.
I think that would have helped tremendously.
It sounded like he was
just
trying
give it the update. Just give somebody this give a little something more modern from a production standpoint. That would have been much more easy to
digest. It sounded like they recorded this on a 46 with like 8 megs of RAM.
Maybe on your phone. It didn't sound super horrible when I listened to it on the speakers, but...
There's two versions of that song.
Oh, are there?
Maybe I listened to the rough
one. Of them was rough. The one I think DJ Moore played.
When I heard it, I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world, but it didn't seem like it was like anywhere up to what he was trying to tackle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You
yes.
know, like...
And I mean, it's Eminem, man. Like, don't.
Like, his grandkids got to let him know that.
Be like, come on, Pop. Let's put the microphone down.
Yeah, let's not do that. Why don't you put one of us on the track? Let us try. Might be better.
One of the grandkids might be able to go.
Might be able to.
All right, man. Well, you know, it's self-awareness. So he pulled.
I mean, it didn't stop his shine. Like, he still got out there and performed at basically all the hip hop events.
As he should,
you know.
And he's a pioneer.
Yeah, he's a legend. Yeah,
should. MC Shan even apologized to Nas.
Now, I didn't see that.
I didn't see because it happens so quick. What did MC Shan say about Nas?
I can't remember exactly what he said.
They've had issues though.
But he had some words for Nas and
both from the bridge though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, that seems like
Shan needs some teeth.
I wouldn't expect it. I didn't.
You know what though?
I didn't see that coming.
to the Mel thing too. Like,
yeah.
Even going all the way back, that kind of sparked this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
What Melly Mel said about Eminem is not incorrect.
Oh, about still. The fan base and
he's still not incorrect.
You know what? What he said is what we've been talking about on the show for the last 6 years.
100%.
It's not like we disagree with him.
Nah, it's accurate. So it's just that.
It just wasn't a good song.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hey, man. Hey, I'm all about accountability. He took accountability, Jay Moore.
Or whoever wrote it for him.
No, he wrote that.
No,
he wrote that.
He wrote that.
It sounded like 1982. All of the cars. The flow has not been updated.
I'm talking about the apology letter. I'm talking about the apology
letter. AI wrote that, and it wasn't even. Now I'm talking about Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
I mean, it's very well said. It's very well written.
Just like when Neo, somebody crafted an apology for him. He's like, I don't care nothing about what this is talking about. Let me tell you how I really feel.
Yeah,
we might have that same moment with Melly Mel coming up.
Let's talk hip hop sampling. I think Brother Terry shared this one in the Discord. Brother Terry. I tell you, I'm changing, man. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So the headline on OK Player says, "Has hip hop sampling gotten lazy?" They use some reference points like Corey LeRae's Players. It says, you know, that features Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five's a Message.
That's why Melly Mel keep talking crazy. Because he's still getting these checks.
No, the Robinson family is getting those checks.
Well, never mind.
Thank you. Her follow-up, Make My Day, flipped Technotronic's Pump Up the Jam. And then they mentioned Jack Harlow's First Class. That's a Fergie joint. called Glamorous, Nicki Minaj, Super Freaky Girl, which was obviously Super Freak, Rick James, Dossie Santana's Booty, which was Beyonce's Crazy in Love, and NLE Choppers is Getting Hot, was sampled, obviously.
That was not good, man. Did you guys? Did you hear that record?
Yeah, I did. I didn't even hear it. I just seen the hoopla about it.
Yeah, it's basically party song.
It was like a weird remix.
A shooting song.
It sounded like a weird remix.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Literally. Yeah. So long from a producer's standpoint, with this, because we always talk about flipping samples, obviously, and you know sometimes you want to pay homage, and that happens sometimes through flipping samples. But do you think they have a point in terms of from a lazy standpoint? Because some of these are blatant with the way that the production is done. It's not much to it. It's damn near the record.
Reminds me just like the Puffy era.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Puffy was going and taking like full songs, not really, you know, like
take hits from the '80s. Yeah.
You know
that's what his son is doing now.
True.
That's what this, from a pop standpoint, like a lot of these records here, you know, like, yeah, I can hear that. But that is what Puffy was doing. And then once you start digging a little deeper into some of the producers that and the records that are more hip hop related and less pop culture related, you start to, I think people are still chopping and stuff. I think it's just changed. But for this, I would just, to me, it just reminds me of Puffy.
So is lazy a good word for them to use? You know, is that a...
Yeah, actually.
I think it is.
Okay. I'm good with lazy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm good with lazy too,
because to me, they're literally sampling the sample. Yeah.
Right.
So if I've already did the work and done the sample, and now you're just taking exactly what I did and doing it again, that's lazy to me at the end of the day. Like even, Hitmaker, every one of his songs is a song that was already sampled. He just sampled it again and maybe put a different
drum
kick
pattern.
Drum or something behind it. That's it.
Yeah, I think it's lazy. I don't know if it's any more lazy than what Diddy was doing.
They used examples in article.
You know.
Yeah. But at least the equipment that he was using back then, it took some skill to know how to do it.
He wasn't doing it though.
Yeah, I don't know. I think in that for that argument, I would just say it's evolved.
Yeah.
You know, okay, it's become easier to do that now, you know.
Way easier, yeah.
So, but if Diddy could have used that stuff, he would have used it too.
Absolutely.
So we have three lazies, and then Jay Moore was opposed to the word lazy.
I mean, because I will say the laziest thing I've heard, I don't remember the young lady's name who did it, but like all she does is spit a verse over Petey Pablo's, what was the song? North Carolina.
Oh, Helicopter.
Whatever.
I haven't even heard that one.
And there's no flip on it. They don't speed it up. They don't slow it down. All she's doing is spitting a verse over. Nobody tried to replay any instruments. Nothing.
Just like
now,
jack the song?
Is as lazy as anything that I've ever heard.
Wait, it's her record or is it on some mixtape?
No, it's her record.
Really?
I'm trying to figure out. I'll find it at the end of the
show. She rapped over the whole beat as is?
Rhymed over the beat. And I was like, this is.
I mean, I'm happy if I'm the producer.
Yeah, I mean, Timbaland probably got 100% of that song.
If I'm the producer, I get I take that.
Because,
I mean,
like, there's not, like, you know, when I hear that, I'm like, well, I mean, if we just not trying, let's just go ahead and pull up some
some beats.
Pull up some instrumentals, and then I can say I'm a producer. I produced that record. All you did was put the CD in and had somebody rhyme over it again.
Needs more cowbell.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. Whoever said artist is, and there's somebody that's credited as a producer.
Yeah.
For that. I don't know who it is, but with her record, somebody recorded her, mixed and engineered it around that old beat.
Probably chopped it up. Probably still chop it up to loop it correctly.
To loop it correctly. Yeah. I guess that's the production.
Yeah. You know.
You know, but somebody sampled, you know, back that thing up.
Yep.
But, you know, that was an original composition by Manny Fresh.
Sure was.
Which means now he's getting a check for, now people are sampling his catalog. Well, I don't, because he did sell part of his catalog.
That's true.
You know, so
if it's still under what he owns, though, he's getting some nice bread.
So now, I mean, as somebody like that who didn't sample, you know, now we're just in that era to where, okay, the songs that we loved originally are just being like, I heard somebody redo, I think it's The Weeknd in 21 Savage. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
That song, once again, that song's barely 20 years old.
Yeah, somebody did that. But if you think about it, the songs that were getting sampled when we were kids were around that same age.
Yeah, that's
true. You know what I'm saying? It's just we looked at it like it was older.
But
it was technically, some of the stuff was actually newer than some of the stuff is getting sampled now.
Like we think, in my mind, I always
20-some years ago.
Yeah, in my mind, I always thought that, you know, In Between the Sheets was like the 70s. That was the 80s.
Yeah.
Great song.
And, you know, and it was...
But it was different genres, too.
Yeah. True.
Different genres, true.
I think that's the main thing that's different is that now we have hip-hop sampling hip-hop.
Yeah, because it was kind of appeasing or putting a new spin on it for us, you know what I'm saying? So these are songs that our parents were listening to, but now we're hearing it differently because it's the same genre of music isn't being recorded over it.
When I first started sampling records, right, or just trying to figure out how to do it, or, you know, going to the digging in the crates, as they say, and all that type of stuff, I would never look for anything that was current or had anything associated with hip hop. All the stuff that I was digging in the crates for, alone, I'm looking for jazz, soul, R&B, or whatever. I never looked for hip hop stuff to chop.
It was an unspoken rule.
Yeah, like I never looked for stuff like that. Like, AG's would tell you, like, one of the records, first records I chopped up was a Major Harris record. Like, just some old school soul that's funky. Like, it was nothing nowhere near close to hip hop at all. You know what I'm saying? But it's different now. Like, they're going back into the same genre and just...
I think an element that kind of comes into this, the laziness is too, is because biting is a big thing in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're getting close to biting when you, like, sample something of the same genre.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like you're...
Especially if it was a hit record.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now you got big shoes to fill if you're taking a hit record and putting your own spin on it and putting it back out there.
If it was me, I'd have left Nelly alone. I'd have left that one alone. And there's no need for that. That record is just fine. You know what I'm saying? And I haven't heard the version y'all talking about, but I've heard people talk about
it. Either.
Heard people talking about it.
You don't need to hear it.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's not worth listening to.
Once again, but another original composition by Pharrell.
Yeah.
Or the Neptunes, rather. And so now they're in that space to where they're starting to get mailbox money off of people sampling their original compositions.
Maybe this is why these companies are gobbling up all these.
They probably see this catalogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm going to snatch up somebody's catalog, I'm definitely going to look at getting Timberland and
Pharrell.
And Pharrell, because they...
And Manny.
Yeah,
Kanye.
Yeah, because they didn't sample. Kanye, you got to start splitting that pie up.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to split his pie up. 3 and 4 samples.
Yeah, you got to split that up.
Yeah.
Manny them would eat well. Mm-hmm. Manny, Timbo, and Pharrell would eat well.
I mean, Beats by the Pound. I know how y'all feel about...
They were sampling stuff that was still on the radio.
Well, some of the stuff was original.
That's actually good.
KLC
made a lot of original stuff.
If Your Fans Only Knew was on the radio, like maybe 6 months after, If Your Girl Only Knew.
That was a great album. True to the Game was great. I don't care what nobody said.
Is that the first?
That's the one where they three ski masks on the cover.
Oh, that's the one with Swamp.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about, Long.
Swamp Agin.
Swamp.
Nope.
Swamp Agin, that was a great song.
He's turned that off.
It's great.
Jumped in my Cutlass, rolling up. Hey, that's
man,
it.
Man, I got a certain appreciation to certain music.
Because where you was at?
Not only that, but having a stereo in your car.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you was riding good.
Man, when you got some nice speakers and everything sound good.
Jay Moore, I'm telling you, man, you'll let it in.
That's the only reason why I liked a lot of Cash Money stuff back then.
It used to be great.
I like Cash Money, and I didn't have a nice stereo. I liked Cash Money.
Jay Moore, I'm telling you, man, hear that swamp.
And then when it break down and go into the UGK beat at the end of the song.
Come on, man.
That was cold. I'm sorry.
I used to have extra tweeters, man. I used to tweeter out there with the Velcro.
Screaming.
Hey, Lone has some 12s, if I'm not mistaken. You had some 12s?
I had 112.
Yeah.
I got pulled over twice in the same day because of my tweeters.
Yeah. They were outside the car?
No, but they were angled.
So, you know, some people would put them in the grill.
They weren't like that.
Yeah.
They were like on the... They were angled out though, so yeah,
screaming.
Lone was screaming. I've been in that. I was in that car.
Hey.
He definitely was screaming.
I'm telling you,
working that poor alternator.
I remember the first time I put a Chronic 2001 in my car.
Oh man,
I was like, damn.
I think
this is crazy.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. NewOldHeads.com for all the education you need this year, as always. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share. We appreciate the support, as always. And we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.
In a minute.
And clean your house.
Yeah.